Hey, you're listening to Artists and Alley, the podcast that gives you an all-access pass to your new favorite artists and so much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and follow on social media at Artists and Alley. Here's your host, Alley Crump.
Today, I am very excited to be joined by the creators of a really cool fan-centered app called Lightser App. Bailey, Emma, and Sarah took a fan project and made it into something so special and amazing. Fan projects happen all the time, but this one is one for the books. Today, we are talking to Sarah and Emma from Lightser.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing amazing. How are you?
Good. And you guys are on the East Coast, so I won't say good morning, I guess. I mean, it's still morning in my head, but...
Well, I'm on PST, so it is morning for me.
Okay. So I'm sorry. It's early. Just a little too early. So kind of just getting started with your music journey, how did you guys get into music? What was your kind of first memory of really falling in love with music or a band or an artist?
I would say for me, it was... pretty much Harry Styles, because he really got me into music. Also, just his fandom was, like, really nice, and I got really into them. It started, like, pretty much from when One Direction was really big, and then I just kind of followed him into, like, the solo career, which is when I got more into him.
I would say my music journey started when I was younger. My mom is a professional musician, and I played the violin since I was like 3 or 4 years old, and did that up until high school, then switched to the French horn and the trumpet. So I was in orchestras throughout my whole life. In my personal life as well, besides like classical music, my dad was always like playing music out loud and listening to it in cars, and that would range from like Radiohead to Nirvana. So I always had an appreciation there for that.
Heck yeah. And if you guys don't mind me asking, how old are you guys?
I'm 19.
I'm 19 too.
Okay, so yeah, you guys would have been how old when like One Direction really? Because I remember, how old was I? I was like in early middle school.
Yeah, right. No, really little.
that's so awesome. No, literally. So did you guys start listening to them as they were coming, or are you guys kind of, as you got older, you heard back, I guess what it would say, probably like 2015 hiatus-ish time?
Yeah, I think, well, for me in the beginning, honestly, I wasn't that big of a fan because I was like, I don't know why everyone's so obsessed with them. But later on, like when I got kind of older, I like actually listened to their music and I really liked it.
Awesome. Yeah, and same with me. I definitely had I'm not like other girls phase where I was like, they're so stupid. But like, you know, secretly I was listening to like, You Don't Know You're Beautiful, because it was so like, just like a good song. And while I never got like as big into One Direction, I definitely have like enjoyed a lot of their songs with my friends who were big into them, and like, you know, just spent a little time with them in like that capacity.
Yeah, and what was your guys' first concert?
My first concert was actually a Shawn Mendes concert.
Oh.
I think mine was a U2 concert I went to with my mom.
What a flex.
That is so funny.
Mine was Tim McGraw, and I was like 6 years old, and I like contribute that. Yeah, as to like my downfall, like literally 6 years old, goodbye, off the cliff already.
Yeah, they had you since the beginning, literally.
I mean, I was like 17 when I went to my first concert.
So. Oh, my first real concert though, I think was like the one I wanted to go to was a Troye Sivan concert. Because I was really a huge Troye Sivan fan when I was in middle school, like huge. Like I knew all the songs start to finish. I think I went for his Blue Neighborhood tour.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so fun. His like pipeline is so interesting to me because he really started off like his YouTube career, and then it was like surprised he was like amazing music, and I'm so extremely talented.
And like I listen back on it now and I'm like, this music isn't bad. It's not outdated. Like with a lot of the things that you used to like, you'll look back on it like 5 years in the future and be like, oh wow, this kind of was yikes. But like, I just re-listened to Blue Neighborhood. I was like, this still holds up. This is great.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I like, it, he just like, his whole thing baffles me. I love him. And I remember when I was in middle school, I like, it was when he was in, oh God, was it, he wasn't in O2L, was it?
I don't think so. Maybe.
No, he was in something. And I remember like freaking out, and I like had this biggest crush on him, and I made him my phone lock screen, and I convinced somebody he was my boyfriend. Like, it was like a whole ordeal. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's my boyfriend. Which is so funny to me. And I also think just like people who have like such an appreciation and like understanding for music and music fans like always have like such an interesting like kind of path. So you guys are 19, and which I'm assuming you guys are college or in the beginnings of your career. So can you kind of talk about that and like how that intertwines with this app and like starting this app? Or is this literally just like a ballpark, like out of the ballpark thing for both of you?
I mean, if we're being honest, it was pretty like out of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off like me and Bailey were just in the car, and we're like talking about how, oh, it's so cool how like sometimes people do fan projects for Harry Styles. And I'm like, oh, what if we do one? And then Bailey just came up with the idea. She's like, hey, maybe we can make an app. And then she made the app. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. I had originally planned to go to college to do like nursing or something like that. Because I was like, oh, I need to find like a stable career, even though I had wanted to do something creative throughout high school. Mm-hmm. And then I joined the team, like, I think about a year into the app's development, right, Sarah?
Yeah, about a year.
Yeah, and I had originally just been helping out with social media. And then as time went on, I did more of the graphic design and some help with business development. And I realized that I'm able to, like, do well in this field. So that's really actually, like, pushed me into where I want to go now. Like, maybe going to business school and stuff like that.
That's so awesome. And, like, thinking about, like, the fact that it was just kind of like, we should make an app. I made an app. Like, that's, like, not something to like just like casually say, you know. It's kind of holy cow. Like, and let's kind of talk about the journey that brought you guys together, the romantic tale that made the app. How did that, what does that story look like?
Well, actually, me and Bailey went to elementary school together, so we pretty much grew up together. And then for college, she went off to Pennsylvania, because that's where she's going. And then she came back and we had like a concert to go to. And that's when the idea sparked, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. And I met Bailey at college. We actually we're doing work study in the cafeteria together. And I think one of the first like nights we actually like hung out and like spent time with each other, it was with me, her, and then another one of our friends. And we were reading like Harry Styles fan fiction as a joke. and then so we became friends from there, and she had mentioned that she had an app, and I was like, oh, that's cool, but it doesn't really affect me. Like, it's not, I couldn't really be involved. And then, I started helping a little bit later on, and it just grew from there.
It's so crazy, because I think One Direction fans, Harry Styles fans, now Horn, like the whole gaggle of fandom that like are, I would say 18 to 24 right now, are too powerful.
Oh, they're crazy powerful.
Too powerful. And I think about, so the episode that you guys are following is, it's going to be Claudia from Fanmade, and talking to her, and she's kind of in the gap older than us, because I'm 24, so I would consider myself in that, like, with you guys. She's in the older bracket of fans, where she was like 17, 18 when One Direction was a thing. So like seeing that age gap difference and how like they have made Fanmade and how that relates to fan to ban and the kind of impact from that, and then seeing people like you guys that are like out here literally just making a freaking app, which is so cool. And how, like, seeing that, how that affects, like, crowds of people. And I think it's super empowering to people who are, you know, younger than us, that 18 to 24 demographic, I guess, and how that they are going to react. And I know that, like my niece is 13, and she says she likes One Direction. Let's be real. I know she doesn't. Not in the way. Not the same way. Yeah. but, like, what they're going to kind of latch on to and, like, move forward to, because it's hard, because, like, I think there's not that, like, large, like boy band per se, but, like, I know they're Billie Eilish fans and Ariana Grande fans, and what's going to click next that kind of takes that on, and maybe that's BTS, I don't know. If that's the, I feel like that's kind of just where, like, a lot of One Direction fans kind of, like, moved into. At least there's, like, a huge pipeline to that. So coming through this whole process, have you guys come across anybody kind of changing the fan realms, in your opinion?
I feel like most of the people have been trying to, like, create their own, I guess, like, projects to bring fans together. I've noticed at concerts, I mean, people are really accepting, like, in just in the fandom in general. So, like, I've seen a lot of, before we made the app, like, people would create their own, like, light projects, which was really cool. And some people would, like, coordinate with, like, their signs, or they'd, like, bring flowers into pit or something for certain songs. So I feel like people are really, like, they want to bring attention and, like, connect with the artist, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, too, I think the rise of social media has really impacted how people interact with artists and how fan communities are in general. Like, even though, yes, the internet was a thing back in 2012, yes, fan communities online were a thing, they usually took, like, very different forms than I do now. It was a lot more, like, I feel like Tumblr was a bigger part of it, and a lot more, like, I don't know, I'm not a historian on these things, but it's kind of changed, and I feel like that's definitely, like, affected how people interact with their favorite artists.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think yet I have said this, but can you guys just, like, give a brief synopsis of what this app is? I think I, like, slowly mentioned it, kind of, but can you guys give, like, that, like, I guess elevator pitch would be the best kind of way to describe that?
Yeah, Emma, yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah, I can totally do it. So basically, Lightstar is an app that lights up a whole stadium, and it does that by sending a color to your phone screen based off the section that you're in. When the show starts, when a certain song is played, you hold up your phone, and then the light that's on the front screen will face the artist, and the entire stadium will be lit up with different colors. And the colors are pre-selected for the show and would be optimally done with the help of the artist to match the theme or the vibe of the show. So someone in section 100 might have red, while someone in section 99 might have blue.
What has been the largest show, I guess, like, with participation that you guys have done? I know you guys worked a ton on this last tour, but what was the largest one, I guess, with participation?
I would say the largest one was for Harry Styles' Love on Tour, and it would be LA Night 3. That one, like, we did it for Fine Line, one of his songs, and we did pink and blue lights around the stadium. And it was, like, right when the song started, like, everyone put up their lights, and it was, I would say, about 80% of the stadium, like, just lit up with pink and blue.
Wow, that's so cool. Were you guys there?
Yeah, I was there.
What was your reaction to that?
I was in pit, and I was just, like, bawling my eyes out. I couldn't even take a video.
Oh, my goodness.
And then my friends were just like, oh, my God, it's working.
Well, you did this. Like,
I know.
That's so incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What has been the largest kind of learning curve for you guys with this app?
I feel like the largest learning curve, at least in my opinion, would be how we cater to people on social media, like, what we say. And also in the app, like, being super specific about what we do. Because a lot of the times people get really confused. Yeah. I guess because we're like, oh, we know what it is. But then, like, other people don't know. So we had to, like, really be specific.
Yeah, and I would say for me, the biggest learning curve has been kind of balancing school and life and doing the app all together. And I think, Sarah, you'll probably agree, but it's almost like working like a full-time job because we're, again, it's a small team, so we're really picking up the slack in other areas where you might have 3 to 4 other coworkers doing it. So being full-time college students, you know, having to work, at least in my case, multiple jobs to help pay my way through college, that's been really difficult.
Yeah. And I applaud you guys so much for that. Like, I think about when I was in college and I barely could handle like one extracurricular, let alone a whole freaking like startup essentially. So you guys are on Kickstarter, right?
Yes, we are.
And what is the goal with Kickstarter? What do you guys want to do with that?
So basically we're just trying to get enough money to cover like operational costs and which is like development and filing for everything that we've been doing. Cause as of now we've been using our own money to do that. Cause it's a startup. We're planning on looking for investments later on. But right now at the stage of the app, we're not looking, and we just want something to cover the, you know, the basic costs.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of like looking forward, and I know this is a crazy question, and like such a hard answer, I'm sure, but what is the dream and the dream outcome for that?
I feel like for me, the dream would be, I mean, this sounds like obvious, but like getting super big to where like we're working with like multiple different artists and like different arenas, maybe even like, I don't know, go on a tour with someone and just like work with them would be super awesome.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about LightCert is that everyone that we've talked to about it, they always have like 5 extra ideas about how we could, things we could add and ways we could make the concert experience better. And as people, you know, all 3 of us who love music, it's really exciting to be in a place where we can like talk about music and spend time working on music related activities and just like doing deep dives into topics about concerts or music industry and talking to insiders and stuff like that.
Yeah. And literally you say that like everyone has like 5 extra ideas. As I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh my God, this would be so cool if it was like then led into sports and then sports arenas were able to do it. And then, then like even like just small venues being able to do it if you're like, you know, on the balcony versus on the floor. And I'm like, there's so much potential. And like, I'm so excited to kind of watch this whole thing grow and flourish because it is so unique. And I think that there is lacking. And I think that you guys are at the perfect time to kind of just swoop in there and be like, an app for that. We have an app for that. kind of thinking in a larger aspect from the fan perspective, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. In the future, just in general, like, what do you think is going to happen with fan communities as they see stuff like projects like yours and then also other projects that we mentioned earlier? Do you think that it's going to be just a fan-centered world and that all these musicians are just going to live in a fan world and just provide the music? Or do you think it's a good, like, kind of balance between the two? What do you guys think it's going to look like in the next couple of years?
I feel like it's going to be a really nice balance because I feel like right now, sometimes maybe fans don't feel super like connected with the artist just because it would be like a little bit of interaction over social media, but not really anything personal at concerts unless you're like paying for like a VIP meetup or something. But I feel like doing projects like this at least shows the artist like how much the fans care for them. And that I feel like it just brings a fun like memory for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, and honestly, like, of course you can go too far, but it should be a fan-centered world. I mean, the fans are the ones paying to go see you, paying for the merch, invested in the artists, like making fan communities, all this stuff. And while of course you want to like have a distance so it's not too like there's not like a weird relationship there, I feel like it's been lacking in a lot of ways, like Sarah was saying. usually it's just, oh, you buy the music, you talk to other fans, you go to a show. But that's really it. Like, there's not a big, there's not a lot of, like, I don't even know, I guess, interaction between both people.
Yeah, and I think that absolutely differs, too, between artists. Because you think about, like, you guys, you know, coming out the box with, like, the hottest artist out there, Harry Styles. Love that man. And, like, he has, what, zero social media presence with the exception of the one or two photos he'll post and just run away.
Because he doesn't need to, because his fans love him so much, which is great, which is amazing. But at the same time, you know, I know people would like to have a little bit more or have a little bit. I don't know anything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like interesting that like this is like so nerdy. I just read a book about fan engagement and there was like this whole section about Beyonce and how like she's kind of in the similar boat. Is like she doesn't need to. She posts when she posts, she releases when she releases, she performs when she performs, mm-hmm. and then that's it. Mm-hmm. And I think that even those fan communities are even stronger looking at, you know, Harry Styles, literally One Direction, who has not released anything in how long. and like they're stronger than ever when there's no content. But then like the potential of like Billie Eilish doing something and working with an app like yours, hopefully working with your app to power her arenas and connect in that way, even if it's a way, you know, like there's a way she can send a video to, you know, through the app, you know, mm-hmm. there's just so much potential. And I'm really, like I said, I'm just really excited to see that kind of grow and flourish. Do you guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
So I'm going to give you a very specific scenario and then just tell me the first song that comes to your head. I'll give you mine first to give you a little extra time. So the first one is you're at a concert venue. The energy is just like a little bit off and kind of dragging on prior to the concert. But they play this one song and it kind of hypes everyone up. I immediately think of September by Earth, Wind & Fire, one of my favorite songs.
I think my song would be Kiwi by Harry Styles, because that's just like once it starts playing, everyone's just jumping and screaming.
Oh my God, yes.
I think I would go with maybe either like an old one, like Sweet Caroline or something like that everyone knows, or Townie by Mitski.
Oh, yeah.
I love Mitski.
Those both are super, super good. And the second one would be you are in a rut and you just need something that turns you around, gets you moving, gets you shaken. I have been in my Reputation era, so I'm going Did Something Bad by Taylor Swift.
I'm going to say, oh my God, I'm blanking on the artist's name, but the song is called Brazil.
Ah, Declan. Yeah. Declan McKenna?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my God, that's such a good song.
No, I always listen to that. I go on like, you know, drives down like PCH to see the beach. And then I play that song and I'm like, it's just good energy.
I just want you to know, I've never been out to the West Coast. My friends have moved out there. They live in LA. Mm-hmm. And I've been waiting because of COVID to come. And I literally have a playlist like to listen to when I eventually drive down highway.
You should send me the playlist because I'm always looking for new songs.
Oh my God. Yes. I'll email it over.
That's a tough question. I would probably say something like ABBA. Really upbeat and, you know,
grossly fun.
I feel like upbeat is the key. Just makes
exactly. And then I have one more. This one's always kind of a funny one to hear everybody's answers. You're on the way home from a really bad date and you have to drive the person home. You have the aux cord and to pick the song. I am going kind of like, because I do this one every time. I always pick a different one. I'm going kind of angsty. I've been really into Turnstile, so I'm picking their song Blackout. And I think any man would kind of tear if he'd listened to that as soon as he got into my car.
Oh my God. That's a good one. I'm trying to think of this one Taylor Swift song. I'm like, I know they're all like pretty much breakup songs, but.
Oh my God, I was going to play a Taylor Swift song too. Like any.
Literally any Taylor Swift song.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Honestly, I feel like Wildest Dreams for some reason.
Oh yeah, that would be a good one. There's like so many different ways you could go with this. You could be like, because sometimes I'll say like a Megan Thee Stallion song.
Oh my God, yeah.
I'm a bad bitch. Bring me back to that energy. And then some I'll just be like this or like sad and just freak somebody out. Yeah. I've yet to be in that scenario, so thank God.
Me too. Hopefully not soon.
Literally. So I have one final question for you guys. Musicians, people in the music industry, and even people who aren't in the industry and just like our general people have the ability to have a platform to leave a mark in the world in various ways, either or smaller. For you guys and working on this app, what is the mark you kind of want to make?
I think we really want to just be like super relatable to people and like allow people to like feel more connected with each other and at least with their artists. So they feel like they have a safe space and like people that they can count on.
Yeah. And I really want to do something just like creative and keep like expanding the app. So we'll be able to do different types of shows and different types of music and just mess around with it and see where it goes and see what we're able to make.
Absolutely. Before we close out, do you guys want to plug it a certain way? Do you want to like, you know, do a nice little like read about it, where to support you, where to find you?
On, I believe almost every platform, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, you can find us on at Lightser app. And then for the Kickstarter, we have a link on, is it on our website, Emma?
It's on our website and it's in the bio of our Instagram, which is at Lightser app.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, Sarah and Emma, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.